Welcome to the Financial Analyst Journal Author Interview Series. I'm Pat Light, an assistant editor here at CFA Institute, and I'm here today with Michael Robinson, CFA, to discuss his recent FAJ article written with Ari Pondus, Is Effective Junior Equity Market Regulation Possible?, which was published in the July-August 2014 issue. Michael, thanks for talking with us today.
My pleasure.
In this interview series, we invite our authors to discuss their articles with us, so we'll get started with this first question. What was the practical issue or issues that motivated your research?
Well, my co-author and I have noted that there's been a decline in the number of IPOs, both in the senior equity markets and the junior equity markets around the world, most notably in the United States and in Europe. And we wanted to see if the Canadian experience with respect to this market might provide some insights into some programs that could work in different jurisdictions.
And what was your approach to that issue?
What we did was we did an analysis of a particular program offered by the TSX Venture Exchange called the Capital Pool Company Program. This program has accounted for about 85% of all of the IPOs that have occurred on the junior equity markets in Canada in recent years. So it was a good program to sort of drill down into and try and understand a little bit better. This program actually started back in 1986 when there was different junior equity markets around Canada. We have a different regulatory system in our country in that we have provincial regulations of our securities markets, so sometimes that leads to different regulations across different jurisdictions in the country. And in the late 1980s, there was a problem in our capital markets in Canada, and companies were having difficulty raising money, so the securities regulators and what was the Alberta Stock Exchange at the time, created a program based on the blind pool model that had been developed in the United States to allow some nascent companies to raise capital to try and take themselves public in a two-stage process, the first stage being that raising the pool of capital and then rolling in a company as the second stage to then have a publicly listed entity. This program initially had some real problems with fraud and not high-quality underwriters or firms being attracted to it. And so after some initial problems, the regulators shut the program down for a period of time in order to study what could be done to make the program more effective. And when they made these changes, they created what is now called the Capital Pool Company Program, and that is what we explored in more detail. So we gathered all the information for every one of these companies that was listed both in the period before the regulations came into effect in 1986 and in each year from 1987 through to 2010 to study three main questions with respect to the program. The questions we wanted to understand were, did the regulations that were put into effect help to lower the amount of fraud that there was in this junior equity market? Did the quality of the firms that were coming public using the program increase after the regulations were put into effect? And also, did the success of the firms that were listed in that manner increase after the regulations were adopted?
So, Michael, talk a little bit about your findings and how you expect them to influence practice.
Certainly. So we identified that there's sort of a natural experiment here because, again, this issue of fraud in the junior market was not just particular to Canada. It also occurred in the United States in the same time period, sort of the late 1980s. And the way the Canadian regulators reacted and the way the U.S. regulators reacted were slightly different. So it creates a natural experiment for us in terms of the effect of regulations in combating fraud. And it's an important macro question because we have observed that there's been a decline in the number of junior companies going public worldwide in the U.S., Europe, and not so much in Canada. And there's been some studies done in the U.S. to say that if there was a more effective method for these junior companies to go public, that would actually help increase the economic activity in the U.S., create more jobs. And out of that discussion, there were some proposals that came forward. The Jobs Act, for example, that has occurred in the United States in recent years was one outcome of this discussion about how to help these nascent firms raise capital. Also, the idea about crowdfunding as a mechanism for junior firms to raise capital is something else that has sort of come to the fore. And one of the things we're trying to do is sort of raise a caution that, yes, access to capital is important, but you also have to realize that it's important to have a regulatory environment in place which protects investors in this situation. And so we think that the results of our study help to show that it is possible to make that effective trade-off between allowing access to capital while still retaining regulatory oversight that provides protection for the investors in that situation.
And, Michael, is there anything else you'd like to add before we let you go here?
Well, I think that in terms of the implications for the different types of readers of your article, there's sort of three main ideas I'd like to brace forward first. I think it's got some important message here for regulators that are trying to make that trade-off between providing access to capital to the firms and investor protection. And we highlight that some of the mechanisms that were adopted in this mechanism in Canada included putting venture VC-type control mechanisms on top of the junior equity offering market. We also think there's implications here for firms that are working to attract capital because we're trying to show that there is a vibrant market here that starts and initially has investors drawn from the individual investor community, but also does have over time the ability to attract institutional capital. And also we think that the results here provide some insights for individual investors that are looking for the opportunity to invest in growth-oriented firms and want to make sure that they have good regulatory protection for their investments. Just as I finish off here, there's a few extensions. This is a part of an ongoing stream of research with my co-author, Dr. Pandas, and we're looking to identify some of the return patterns associated with this program to identify on a cross-sectional basis what are some of the factors that affect the returns that investors can expect in this type of market. And also we want to just identify some of how the program has evolved to attract larger financings and more international financings over time. We want to drill down and get a better insight into why over time the program has been able to expand geographically.
Well, great. We will hope that we can get some updates on your research a little bit later as you guys continue to drill down into it. And thanks for taking your time to share your research and ideas with us today. We encourage all of you listening to read this article and articles from other CFA Institute publications on our website, www.cfapubs.org. And you can also follow us on Twitter at CFApubs. Thanks for listening, and Michael, thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Copyright 2014 CFA Institute. This program is designed to give accurate and authoritative information in regard to the subject matter covered. It is distributed with the understanding that CFA Institute is not engaged in rendering legal, accounting, tax, investment, or other expert advice. If legal advice or other expert assistance is required, the services of a competent professional should be sought.